The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Before I read the Gospel, I just have one brief correction to make. I feel like telling people, mark your calendars with a red dot next to today, because for the first time ever, I have made a mistake. What was that all about? I was informed after the announcements that Spice of Life is not this Thursday, it's always the third Thursday. So it's a week from Thursday, not this Thursday. So I apologize for my mistake. But now to the gospel lesson. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Fill it now with your presence and power, and open our hearts to your word. As in his name we pray, amen. You know, I'm sure that you might remember me in times past talking about what I consider to be one of truly our modern saints of the church. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor who served in Germany during World War II and ultimately paid a price for his opposition to Adolf Hitler. He was placed in the concentration camp at Buchenwald. Eventually, he was even executed for fighting against what he believed to be an evil regime and for defending those whom Hitler seemed to be bent on destroying. This morning, I would like to begin my sermon by sharing a few lines from his biographer, and this is about Dietrich. Bonhoeffer, together with his sister Christel and her husband Hans von Danny, was arrested by the Gestapo in the house of his parents on April 5, 1943. In prison and concentration camps, Bonhoeffer, greatly inspired by his indomitable courage, his unselfishness, and his goodness, all those who came in contact with him. He even inspired his guards with respect, some of whom became so much attached to him that they smuggled out of prison his papers and poems that were written there, and apologized even to him for having to lock his door after the round in the courtyard. His own concern in prison was to get permission to minister to the sick and to his fellow prisoners, and his ability to comfort the anxious and depressed was amazing. We know what Bonhoeffer's word and religious assistance meant to his fellow prisoners, especially during their last hours. In his hearing before the Gestapo during his imprisonment, defenseless and powerless, only fortified by the word of God in his heart, he stood erect and unbroken before his tormentors. He refused to recant, and he defied the Gestapo machine by openly admitting that, as a Christian, he was an enemy of Hitler's National Socialism and his totalitarian demands towards the citizen. He defied it, although he was continually threatened with torture and with the arrest of his parents, his sisters, and his fiancée. In 1944, when friends made an attempt to liberate him and to take him to safety abroad, he decided to remain in prison in order not to endanger others. The last service which Dietrich Bonhoeffer held on the day before his death moved all deeply. Bonhoeffer, who was never tried, went steadfastly on his last way to be hanged and died with admirable calmness and dignity. You know, I share these words with you this morning because I think that it is important for us to remember, as Jesus is reminding his followers in the gospel lesson, that to be a follower of Jesus, that if one takes one's faith seriously and tries to live out that faith in his day-to-day life, if one seriously puts Jesus first in their life and then follows Jesus, no matter what the cost, there will be a cost. There is always a cost for following Christ. For Jesus and his disciples, it meant their very lives. They nailed Christ to a cross. They murdered every one of his 12 disciples. And the pages of the history of the church are written in the blood of the martyrs. From Peter and Paul to Dietrich, people who have given their allegiance to Jesus have always had to pour their blood out on the altar of God. And it's important for us to remember that. There is always a cost to discipleship. Now, probably for none of us, that means we will ever face death for our discipleship. Probably none of us will ever have to face the question that Dietrich faced, the choices between life and death. None of us will ever have to face the choices of men like Peter or Paul. But we should not think for a moment that our faith, our allegiance to Jesus, will not come without a cost. Because there are times, if you take your faith seriously, if you live out your faith with courage, that friends and family members will think that you are a bit strange, even delusional, if you put Jesus first. There will be people who will look at you strangely if you and your family put your family first. Try this someday. My family used to always enjoy the reaction we got for it. Next time you're in McDonald's or Burger King or Denny's or wherever you happen to eat lunch, before you eat your food as it's brought to you, bow your heads and say a prayer of thanksgiving. Before you dive into the Big Mac or the fries or the quarter pounder, say a prayer. And then look around at the people who are sitting around you. You will see they will be frozen in time, watching you, because they will think, wow, those are strange people over there. There may be even people you know who will avoid you because you talk about your Jesus, and that kind of freaks them out. That may be the price you have to pay. There may be times when you may have to reorder your finances because you think that getting all those things are not as important as the ministries of the church. There may be times when you will have to say no to some things that sound like a lot of fun because that's the time that you promised yourself that you were going to give to attending a Bible class, or because that's the time you agreed to help at a bereavement dinner, or because that is the time that you have agreed to do some ministry for someone in this place. There may be times when you will have to explain to your children, to your sons and your daughters, and answer their questioning eyes because your family has decided to do something important for Jesus rather than just for ourselves. You know, I always remember this one family at Zion. Every year, we used to always have a Christmas dinner that we served to the people in the neighborhood, which meant somebody had to come down Christmas Day and prepare the food and serve it. Well, one day, there was this one family of ours who came to me, and they said that they had decided that they would like to do it, that their children and their grandchildren were coming home to spend Christmas with them, but that Christmas afternoon and evening, they wanted to go down and take charge of the Christmas dinner. The father told me later that his children and grandchildren thought he was a little nuts because they gave up their Christmas evening together to do that. But I remember him telling me that he thought it was important that they understand that Christmas was not just about getting, because it was also about giving. Sometimes to be a Christian means you have to pay a price. That's what Jesus was talking about in our gospel lesson for this morning. But the real question I guess we need to answer for ourselves is, why should we do that? I mean, why should we do crazy stuff like this? Why should we give up the things that we like to do? Why should we give up the things that are important to us? Why should we pay that price? The simple answer is because of Jesus and because of what he offers us. What does he offer us? His presence and his power in our life, his love, his forgiveness, a place besides our Heavenly Father when this life comes to an end, an eternity to know that we made the right choices. You know, this past year I've had to say goodbye to two women who were very important to my life. One of them was my wife, Doris. The other was Suzanne Miller, who I'm sure none of you know, but is related to a family in this parish. I used to always call them my North Stars, but the one thing that bound those two women together was always putting their Lord first. They sacrificed a lot to do that from time to time, but today they have received their crown of everlasting life. This is what God calls us all to make those choices, to decide what is important. Or I'm going to leave you with these words of Dietrich, who wrote this the day before he died. I am sure of God's hand and guidance. You must never doubt that I am thankful and glad to go the way which I am being led. My past life is abundantly full of God's mercy, and above all sin, stands the forgiving love of the crucified. Amen.